Bless God. How many ready for the word today? I'm excited about being here, and I'm so thankful for your pastors, and they are very dear friends of ours, and we just enjoy all the time that we can get with them and invest, hopefully, as well as be invested in. We learn from them, and they learn from us. We have a good time. Y'all okay? You have blessed and loving pastors. I hope you realize that. You need to make sure that you're hooked up, planted, not only connected, but planted. Do not be a potted plant that picks up its pot and moves on. Get your roots down. Get something hooked up in it, because it's never about the messenger. It's all about the message. It's the word of God that will change your life. It's not me. It's not Pastor Ed or Judy. It's Maureen. And by the way, Maureen's teaching tonight. You don't want to miss. She's going to be talking about... Well, you may be sharing how God helped us make $1,100,000 in 9 months. We just needed a new testimony for the millionaire book. So I asked the Lord, and he said, okay. So you don't want to miss tonight, I'm telling you. It's going to be, invite some other folks out as well. Well, if you have your Bibles today, I'd like to have you turn to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. And I've certainly spent a good deal of time trying to come up with exactly what God wanted me to teach you. It's easy to come into another church and teach a canned sermon, something that I've done 1,000 times, and it flows great, and you have a wonderful time, and it is the Word of God, and it's okay for people to do that. That's fine. But both Dr. Maureen and I, we just like to find out exactly what we feel God is saying we need to say to the church. Does that make sense? So I had written something that I thought, well, I'd never preach it before. I'd written it last week for here. And then it didn't feel right. And so then I wrote another one. I think that was on Friday. I didn't feel right either. So I wrote one last night. I don't know if it feels right yet or not. So we're gonna wing it by the Holy Ghost. Is that all right? Because I believe God's got something specific to say to you. This is the word he said last night. Yesterday, day before yesterday. Infuse the goodness of God into this house. Infuse the goodness of our God. There has been so much religion, so many things that have been taught through the years concerning God and God's relationship with mankind. You can read through the Old Testament, you can find goodness of God, and quite honestly, it seems like you can find a whole lot of badness of God. Did it get anybody's attention on that? And of course, the church for the last 20 years has been saying, our God is good. Our God is good. I like that. In fact, I think Donnie and Reba was the one that started it in our church, saying, God is good. And the body of Christ picked up on it and is saying, there's actually some songs now, praise and worship songs that we do about the goodness of our God. But in the depths of the hearts of most Christians today, religion has taught something different. It's taught some things that maybe God isn't always good. Maybe God is sometimes punishing you. Maybe God sometimes causes this problem and this problem to teach us this situation. Maybe this is the chastisement of God for his body and for his bride. Oh, if you just thought about that for a moment, how would God treat his bride? How does God want you to treat your bride or your spouse? Wow, if God's going to abuse his bride, then I think maybe we've got a wrong belief system. Maybe there's something that's buried deep in our hearts that can't quite trust God completely. When I got born again, about a month into salvation, My wife got one of those hallelujah, Holy Ghost-filled, crazy wind blew in the room and got born again, spirit-filled, and I woke up with a different woman. She went out and bought a Bible, but she didn't just buy a Bible. She bought a family Bible. It was about this big, 4 inches thick. She didn't ever had to go to the fitness center. She just carried it. And about a month later, I got saved. And then about a month later than that, I got this word from the Lord. It was in the middle of the night. And I heard this booming voice, woke me up, and actually, best of my recollection, I didn't sit up, I stood up in bed because we're provide and protect men. When you hear a strange male's voice in your bedroom, it gets your attention. And I stood up, and these booming words still boom in my heart today. Now, I only had one word from God in audible. Most of the time, it's a gentle, small voice like most of us hear. Or it's a sense that this is the direction, or, he speaks to us softly. The Holy Spirit gives us words, and I've gotten many through the years. But this is audible. And I had you turn to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, and what is it if they put it on the screen? Trust. And well, listen to the words. I mean, it's one thing to hear the word, but then you have to meditate and think on it and get the content, get the full meaning, grasp what is God trying to say to your heart when you read the Word of God. Don't just read the Word of God. That's just logos. You want to try and discover the rhema, you want to discover the life in that word. That's how you should read the Word. You don't have to read the Bible in a year. Try and understand one scripture that year. The Bible's clear about seeking knowledge. It just puffs you up. But understanding what you read, understanding God, will allow you to do the wisdom of God. Most people don't do what they know. That's why you have trouble losing weight or eating right. You don't do what you know. But when you gain some sort of understanding and the doctor says you have this terrible disease, you go, maybe I need to find out what I need to eat. Maybe I need to change some things in my life. Maybe. Isn't it interesting? We begin to seek understanding. And God says, seek understanding with your whole heart. It's the principal thing is wisdom, and wisdom is only wisdom when it's done. And that's a good word just for you to think about. So it says, what does it say here? It says, trust in the Lord with how much of your heart? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. You know that out of the heart come all of the issues of life. I said, every circumstance, every situation that you caused came out of your heart. It's connected to what you believe. Why does God want you to have faith? So that you would believe his word and by his stripes you're healed. Or he sent, he became poor that you might be made rich. Or he sent his peace that passes understanding. Or he gives you favor with God and favor with man. Or he gives you joy. He sent his joy that your joy might be made complete. These are the promises of God. Which one of those are not good? Which one of the gifts of God are not good? Which one of the fruits of the Spirit are not good? Love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, self-control. Which one of them is not good? When God created, what did he create? And every time he created, he said it is good. He didn't create anything bad. Bad got created by the devil through people who believed his lie. That's where bad came from. Amen. Okay. So it says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Now, if you ever got a hold of it, this is what the booming voice said. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge me, and I will direct your path. I went, oh, my God. I said to Maureen, did you hear that? She said, no, go to sleep. But through all of the 45 years of preaching the word and 45 years teaching and growing in Christ, and more keeps surfacing out of this. This was given to me, but I don't know whether you know it or not, but see, it's actually in the Bible. Therefore, it was giving to you too. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. If you have anything in you that resists and thinks something different about God, then there's something wrong with your belief system, and you'll never, ever be able to trust with your whole heart. If out of it come the issues of life, if you want to have wealth, joy, peace, health, all of the promises of God, you have to be able to trust with your whole heart. Occasionally, you've hit on it, and a miracle took place. Occasionally, you prayed, and God answered directly, and miracles took place. It's awesome. But then there's always that doubt that tries to show up, especially after you get a word from God. That's how he steals the word, is to get you to doubt. But, you know, God might just, he might have caused this sickness, you know, because he wanted you to testify to that person in the hospital. He's going to use that sickness for goodness. Why on earth would he send Christ to heal all the sick? Was Jesus working full time against God? Was Jesus sent to fix God's mistakes? Come on, these are questions that people don't ask. And we end up with this strange belief system in our hearts that create and cause much of our own problems. We don't even need the help of the devil. You guys are listening anyway. See, right in Genesis it says, darkness was. Did you know that darkness was not created? It's simply the absence of light. The Bible says in 1 John, there is no darkness in God. Well, if there's no darkness in God, then how is it that religion has blamed God for so much in the Old Testament? Is there something wrong with the Bible? No, I believe the Bible is the holy word of God. He's done the best to get it to us, but it worked through man, and translations have screwed it up so bad. God says, do not kill, do not murder, and then he murders 300 million people in the flood. God went against his own commandment? Maybe there's something we don't understand. Maybe we haven't really gotten understanding of the Bible. Maybe we don't have understanding of the Word of God. God's maintained his goodness throughout the Bible, but we haven't always seen it. All we've been taught is the negative side of God. I don't know if I have your attention. There was three people that made a major difference in my life particularly. One was Dr. Fred Price, who made the comment, everything in the Bible is truly stated, not everything in the Bible is true. Now, the body of Christ has a terrible time with that. But we know that there are examples of things that Job went through, and then God is blamed, but God explained it wasn't his fault, it was Job's fault. So we know there are untrue statements. I can give you even further examples. If your right hand offends, you cut it off. How many doing that? Or if your eye offends, you pluck it out. I haven't heard anybody do that. Oh, but you believe the word of God. Those are Aramaic expressions, and they're explainable. If your eye offends you, in other words, if you envy, cut that out. Quit that. That's an idiom. That's all it means. Turn the other cheek, done more damage to the body of Christ, and made wimpy kids, wimpy adults. I taught my kids, somebody hits you, you make sure you don't come home until you win. Because I understood the idiom, it simply meant don't argue religion. Because you can't change somebody else's notion of religion anyway in an argument. So, but you see, you have to understand these things, not just read over them and say, well, I don't know what that means, so I'll skip that. Hallelujah. I'm going to say this. My God, I don't know about yours, but my God is only good. My God has increase on his mind for me. God has the best life on mind for me. My God sent his son and paid for all of my shortcomings. Now, only a good God could do that. He paid for our sin, past, present, and future. He took it all on the cross of Calvary. The cross is to remind us of that. Don't take down your cross. Amen. It's to remind us of the goodness of our God. Amen. That's right. It's where we can take every problem and situation to, because he solved them there. Yes. Amen. Isn't it interesting? It's fascinating. Our God gave us nothing but goodness. But our belief system has picked up so many unusual things. So from my foundation and my roots as a Christian, I got born again. I didn't have thunder and lightning like my wife. I just prayed the prayer. I went, okay, now we can go back to a normal life. What I know? I'm telling you the truth, and I'm very transparent. I thought we'd go back to our normal life, drinking and raising hell, everything's good. My wife, not so. She's been goody-two-shoes her entire life, but I've been working to corrupt her. Anyway. And so I started listening to religion. I went to this really religious law building church, and I heard them talk about this and God and lightning and striking you and I'm going wait a minute, let's see. I was a hell raising drunk, and God loved me then so much that he accepted me as his child. And now he's mad at me because I cussed. And now he might strike me dead because I didn't quite measure up. I missed church. It didn't compute in my brain. I'm going to play your stupid game, but I don't believe it. So I have. I played the stupid game for a lot of years. You know, you can play the role of a Christian when people are around. When you're alone, that's different. Or at least on Sunday morning. Where I'm taking you is God looks the thoughts and attitudes and intentions of your heart. Man looks at the outward appearance. That's how we get into judgment, offense, and unforgiveness. If we did what God did, we would never be offended, we'd never get into unforgiveness, and never have judgment. Amen. See, God sees us through the blood of Christ today. I said he sees us through the blood of Christ today. People have said to me, I saw one of your elders out in the parking lot smoking. I said, if they put it out on the ground, that would make me mad. If the attitude in your heart is you want to stop that because the word has convicted your heart, not because you looked for it, but because the word convicted your heart, that's the Holy Spirit. He's just saying it's maybe time to give that up. When I got born again, both Maureen and I, we quit drinking and smoking. And nobody told us we had to. We just thought it would be best for our children. What an interesting idea for family. I mean, it makes some sense. But I gave up smoking. She was delivered. I was delivered to alcohol, but I was not delivered to cigarettes. I used to love to sit in the smoking section for 20-some years. But the thoughts and the attitudes of my heart were, I wanted to be free. But it was in his time. In his time, it went away. But for those 20-some years, I was doing this. Oh, that's right, I don't smoke. Come on, nobody else is like that? It was just me. Okay, so, all right. Because I have always believed in the goodness of my God. And the reason I'm saying this, I guess, is how it's coming out, is I have felt my whole life highly favored by God. Even before I got saved, he was answering my prayers. Someone in here, you know that's true. You had it happen in your life. That's the favor of God. Something. Because he saw something in your heart that maybe you didn't even see. That's how he chooses his pastors, his teachers, his evangelists, his apostles. Not because of their goodness. Because there's something in their heart. Just think about how he went to Paul. Saul was murdering Christians, tying four horses to arms and legs and ripping apart. God says, I think I could use that guy. Jesus, go down and get him. Jesus shows up on the road to Damascus and said, Paul, quit that. Paul, he got his attention and sent him healing. And he preached the gospel. And he made the comment that there is no blood on my hands. Really? Somehow he really got a hold of this thing that I am 24 hours, 7 days a week qualified for the promises of God. Not based on my behavior, but based on what Jesus did. Now this doesn't give us a license to just do wrong. There's consequences for doing wrong on this earth. There just is. It's called cause and effect. You drive crazy, you hit something. I mean, it's cause and effect. It's just. But the goodness of God is what this is about. My God loves you just like you are. He wants better life for you, and he knows as the word believed by you can produce it. Wow. How cool is that? Now, you trust him with your whole heart. I feel like I made the comment to God, I'll just do whatever you put in front of me to do just a few weeks after I got saved. Don't say that if you don't mean it. And so it's been a path to where I am today, just because I submitted my will to his will. I said, I submitted my will. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding in all of your ways. Acknowledge me, and I will direct my... I gave up my path. And let him have his path, which was better for me. Amen. I mean, that's how I got my wife. God had to talk to her. I've been praying for her, and I wasn't born again, but I prayed for her for 4 years. Just prayed protection over her because she was so naive and working in the city. I mean, it took thousands of angels just to protect her. Survival. Well, one day she prayed about, we weren't going together. In fact, I sent her a Dear John letter, but we weren't even dating. You figure that out. I thought maybe it would shock some sense into her. In fact, I thought it did. And about 10 years later, she told me, no, I prayed and asked God to do it. Oh, okay. But see, she knew, and she says this in her testimony, that she knew God had the better life for her than she did. So she submitted her way to his way. That's how we got here. Is that right? When you submit to his will, he takes you in. Because of his goodness, he will take you to the best life possible for you right here on this earth. That's his will. It's never been his will for you to have loss, kill, steal, or destroy. God's not involved in any of that. That's simply the devil. Has always been the devil since he took dominion and authority in the Garden of Eden. He gained dominion and authority. So whenever you read in the Bible, kill, steal, or destroy, make sure you blame the devil. Do not blame God. It's in the translation. Kenneth Hagin said, and I was got to those three people. Kenneth Hagin said, just as Fred Price said, not everything is truly stated, not everything is true. Kenneth Hagin said, and we have the understanding that today, that there's only causative verbs in the translation from Hebrew to English. There are no permissive verbs to be able to pull from the Hebrew. So every time that you read God caused, it should say God allowed. Why did he allow? Because he had given away dominion and authority. Adam and Eve gave it to the enemy, and he had power and authority all the way to the cross of Calvary, all the way until Jesus said, no one can, unless I give up my life. But the enemy had dominion and authority to take the life. Come on, somebody. On the cross of Calvary, that's the only way it could have happened. And Jesus took all dominion and authority and left the devil totally resourceless and resurrected and gave dominion and authority back to you and I. That's a good God that does that. Only a good God does that. To give us dominion and authority over sickness and kill, steal, and destroy. Keep him under your feet. You have the... I'm almost preaching. Oh. Is that mean I'm... It says 51, 50, 49, 48, 47. I don't know if we're supposed to say Happy New Year at the end of that. Well, okay. Well, that's the first scripture. I have a whole page here. So we're going to continue in the next service. Is that okay? Because I just feel that hopefully you're getting the sense of his goodness. I'm going to cover a lot more of it. I have a book, but we didn't bring it because I'm not sure yet that the whole body of Christ is ready for it. So I haven't really released except in our church. Because it could be controversial to some that won't take the time to listen to the whole thing and understand. Does that make some sense? But it is so important for you to grasp and understand that there is no darkness in God. In fact, Psalm 92, which we will get to in the next service, there is, David could say, there is no unrighteousness in God. We quoted the scripture early in the service, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added. Don't forget, seek his righteousness and quit seeking your own. When you seek his, you'll find change. Because the power of grace says, grace will tell you to say no to ungodliness and worldly passion. It empowers you to, but it will not override your will. Only thing that should override your will in anything is the will of God, and that's your personal decision. It takes your will to get saved. It'll take your will to sell you to hell. It has the power to give you heaven or the power to give you hell. Your will is the most powerful force on this earth. He gave you free will to decide. I have decided to follow Jesus. Come on. That's where life and life more abundant lives. Okay, tune in, same time. No, a little different time, same station.